How's everybody today? Let me set some smiles on them faces now. I'm kind of looking a little. Did you not have breakfast yet? I want you to think back when you were young, when you were a child. You got that picture? Have things changed? Oh, quite a bit, right? I mean, a lot has changed since even I was a child. Let's take a little quiz. We'll find out a little information about you. How many had to go outside somewhere to get water? Okay. How many had chores in the morning? No chores? Some of you? Good. How many went to a one-room school? Anybody? One. How many had to go to the door with the moon on it? I couldn't figure out what the best way to say that was. I thought business, I don't know, out, I don't know. Moon sounded the best. And so the Sears and Roebuck meant something different to, okay, well, I won't go there either. All right, let's go up just a little bit further. How many remember when there was no caller ID? You just answered it to find out who it was, right? When we would go back home from visiting my grandparents, when we got back home, which is Springfield to St. Louis is about 225 miles, I think, from doorstep to doorstep is what I always heard. When we got back home, rather than call them and let them know that we made it home because it was long distance and we had to pay for it, we would call collect and ask for ourselves. And so when my grandmother answered and said, "This is a collect call for Willis," well, he's not here right now. And so we'd hang up. Then we wouldn't have to pay for the collect call. Yeah. Now you can call anywhere you are. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we carry it in our pockets, or we carry it in our pants pocket, or in our purse, or it's always there, and we always have access to it. That's just incredible, isn't it? And who'd have ever thought that that could happen? I mean, it used to be on the wall. When we put somebody on hold, we just set it down on the table. That was hold till I go get somebody else. And if I didn't want to be disturbed, I just took it off the hook and hung it somewhere else. It wasn't that you hit a do not disturb button. I can pick up my phone now and I can talk to my granddaughters that are almost 200 miles away. And if I really want to get fancy, I can FaceTime them and see them. And not just from here to Georgia, I'm talking around the world. You can see someone else on your phone and talk to them. That's just, who'd have thought? And what's ahead? I mean, there's stuff out there now that we would probably just blow our minds. What's going to happen 20, 30, 50 years down the road? I mean, we already have self-driving cars. That's a little scary right there. They're talking about taking trips to Mars. Remember the Jetsons? Is that coming down the road where you just get in your car and now fly everywhere you want to go to? Wow. So things are always and constantly changing. There's no way to stop it. Things are going to change. And I believe 2019 is going to hold a lot of interesting and different opportunities for the world, for you, and for this church. I think there's going to be some opportunities. There's going to be some new and different things that come that need to happen, because change is just inevitable. It's going to happen. So there could be new adventures. really, when we talk about 2019, we just kind of clean the slate and go, okay, we're starting all over again. We've got a brand new year. Things are going to change. Things are going to happen. Some of you in a couple days will make New Year's resolutions that you keep, maybe till February, something around right in there. That's kind of the synopsis of how long you keep a New Year's resolution. Or there is the other option. We could just continue just as we are, just doing the same old thing over and over and over and over again. But I don't believe that average changes anything. I think it's very important that we consistently change and things happen and new things and new opportunities are brought before us. In Mark, we find that Jesus had just fed the 5,000. It was incredible. I mean, he did it with very little food. He found some fish and some bread, and he fed 5,000 men and plus the women and the children that day. And wouldn't it have been incredible to see that, to see Jesus take that small little boy's lunch and feed such a huge number of people? And then you go a little bit further past that, and Jesus walks on the water. Wouldn't it have been something to be in the boat and off in the distance after we finally are not afraid anymore? We see Jesus come walking on the water to us. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was giving sight to the blind. He was giving hearing to the deaf. He was making the lame to walk again. And what an incredible thing that was happening. And then, here comes the Pharisees. Oh, they're a nice little bunch, aren't they? Do you know that they went from Jerusalem all the way to Galilee, which is about 100 miles? Whether they walk or rode, probably walked. They went that far after they had heard about feeding of the 5,000, healing of the sick, walking on the water. They went 100 miles just to start an argument with him. Just to have a little fist fight, per se, with Jesus. See, the problem was is they found out that the disciples that were with Jesus were eating without washing their hands. Now, would you drive all the way from here almost to Coleman to get onto somebody who isn't washing their hands before they ate? Now, before we go any further, it's good to wash your hands before you eat, okay? Matter of fact, it's good just to wash your hands a couple times or two or three times a day because Alabama has the flu now, and so be careful. This isn't what they were talking about, though. There was this ceremonial washing that the Jews had to do before they ate, and it was exactly certain ways they would pour the water on. Some of them would have to lift their hands so that the water would run down past their elbows. And they had to do this every time. And so the Pharisees found out that Jesus' disciples were not washing their hands the ceremonial way. And so they traveled this long distance just to get on to him and say, hey, you're not obeying the law. They weren't following the traditions. The traditions that had been law for years and years and years. And here's the thing that we have to remember. There was a strict observation of the old law. The Pharisees were very strict in following the law, and there were over 600. And it was, we've always done it this way mentality, so you must continue to do it that way because that's the way we've always done it. So make sure that we keep this law and we keep these rules. The Pharisees' problem was that they thought that they were superior because they were keeping. And I think, truth be known, if we could go back and we could follow some of those Pharisees around, I doubt they could keep all them laws. I doubt they could keep all the rules. And to go a step further, though God laid down these laws and these rules, the Pharisees, the leaders, those in charge, would sometimes add to that law. They would put a little bit more of the human touch on it. They would go, now this law is just a little too easy to keep. And so we need to make it a little bit harder so that everybody doesn't keep it, so that we can remain superior over them. And so it became man-made rules instead of just God's law. It's really instead of what the Lord had first required. And so all the miracles are taking place. Here come the Pharisees from 100 miles away. Hey, the guys that are following you, they aren't following the ceremonial washing of the hands. And you know what Jesus said? You hypocrites. Whoa. Would you like to go 100 miles and then hear that called to you? Which is simply a person who acts in a way that goes against what he claims to believe. That's what a hypocrite is. They don't do what they say they believe. And so Jesus tells them in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6 and 8, he says this to the Pharisees. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain for no good. Their teachings are merely human rules. That's where they've added to it. They let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. They forgot about the whole reason, even for the laws, even for the rules. They've added to it. They've made it kind of their own. They've kind of tweaked it in areas that they wanted to tweak it in to make it fit more to their liking. But all in all, they talk a lot, but their hearts are as hard as stone. It was all an outside show. It was just to put on the dog, if you've heard that statement. There was no difference in their heart. There was no difference, no change inside. It was all an outside appearance. And they were just going through the motions. This is how we've always done it. We just keep on doing it that way. It really doesn't mean a whole lot in their minds, they say. But it's what we've always done, so let's just keep doing it the same old-fashioned way. But Jesus was different. Jesus was the rebel. Wow. He decided, I don't have to do all of those rules and obey all of those laws, because he came to relinquish those and to make it grace and mercy and love and compassion. And truth be known, he was making a difference. Oh, things were changing. Things were happening. Wouldn't it be great to live different? Wouldn't it be great to live a life that is different, not just to be different, but live a life that is different so that we can make a difference? I want to be different, not just for the sake of being different. I want to be different so that I can make a difference. And so, if you have your notes, I'd like you to fill in some blanks. Jot these down. Now, this is simple, okay? Almost too simple. But what I found out is a lot of things that are very simple are easy to hear, easy to see, but for some reason, not easy to do. And so it's a simple message to give to you today, but not simple for if you were to follow these guidelines, to follow these steps, I should say. So let me give you two ways that you can live different and make a difference. Because that's what we're here for. We're not here just to do things normal. We're not here just to keep things the way they are. We're here to make a difference in the lives of people that we come across, in lives that we touch, that we intersect. And that goes for you as an individual, And that goes for this church as a ministry. We're here to make a difference, not just to be average, not just to be normal, not just to follow the rules, not just to follow the things that we've always done the same way and just be proud that we're doing them the same way. And so if you want to be different so that you can make a difference, the first thing you need to do is to get close to Jesus. Get close to Jesus. See, the closer we get to Him, the more we become like Him. We begin to reflect Him in our lives. The closer we get, remember at the candlelight service, we're like the moon. We don't have our own light. We only, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, we need to reflect the light of the sun, the S-O-N, sun. So the closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize that we are not like Him and that we need to have a desire to be like Him. We learn to talk like He talks. We learn to think like He thinks. We need to act the way He would act. We need to not only act, but we need to react the way He would react. And we need to live our lives different like He did when He walked upon this earth. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we will reflect Him, the more we'll become like Him. So how do we do that? Once we get closer to, how do I get closer to Jesus? What is going to help me to reflect Him more in my life? And I'm not just talking about a Sunday life. I'm talking about a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday, 7 days a week life. How do I reflect Jesus in everything that I do? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, "Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our life and we become like Him." Here's the desire, that there is nothing between you and God, so that you receive everything that He has and you reflect everything that He is to everyone else. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, we find that Peter and John were meeting with the council. It says this, "When the council saw the boldness of Peter and John and could see that they were obviously uneducated, they were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done for them." These uneducated men, we could tell they were uneducated right when we started to meet with them. But we were amazed when we realized what being with Jesus had done to them. They were reflecting so bright the Savior to that council. Peter and John were making a difference. Why? Because they were different. There was something about them. It wasn't that they were educated and they had a lot of knowledge, but there was wisdom. Wisdom in doing things, saying things, acting the way that Jesus would act. And they simply reflected that. So, let me ask you, have you ever got close enough to Jesus for anything to change? Have you ever got so close to Him that in the brightness of Him, you saw your sin, you changed, you turned from your ways, and you decided, "I'm going to be different so that I can make a difference in this world"? And the closer that Jesus gets to this ministry, the closer He shines His light upon us, do we look and say, "We've got to be different"? Why? So that we can make a difference. So that we can make a difference in this community, in this city, in this state, in this country, and clear around the world. So how do I get close enough to Jesus to make a difference and be different? First thing you need to do is to pray. Our Wednesday night prayer services have been exactly that. We're seeing what it is to pray. We're giving you patterns that you can pray. Now, you can come up with your own pattern, but we've laid out four or five different ways, steps to take in your prayer time so that you can get closer to Jesus. And I believe that we need to continue. 2019 is just around the corner. And I believe prayer needs to be a number one priority in this ministry and in your personal life. Not fancy, not long, lengthy recitals. Simply just have an intimate conversation with the Creator of the universe. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wants to hear from you. He wants to hear what you have to say. And he wants to speak to you too. I put it this way, write this down somewhere in there. I don't think I put it in your notes. The internal voice that directs the external actions. The internal voice that directs the external actions. Prayer needs to be not something that we go to as our last resort, but, here's my band, pray first. Don't wait till the last. Don't wait till you've tried everything, you've exhausted all the options that are there, and then pray. Pray first. Church, don't try all new programs, all different tactics, all different things. Maybe it's time we pray first and see what the Lord has and what's important to Him, not what we think is important. The second thing, if you're going to get close to God, not only do you need to make prayer a priority, but number two, fast. Fasting, if you want to put it that way. Now, fasting's got a bad rap. Okay? I'll say that. Okay? Because right when I say fasting, you go, I got to give up food. I can't eat no more. That's what, if I go on a fast, it's no eat, it's water. That's all it is. Maybe a little juice. That's it. And we have a wrong understanding, really, of what fasting is. Because you've got to understand this. It's not always food. It's not starving yourself to death. It's not making yourself sick to the point of dehydration and starving. And this, too, we've got to remember. It's not something that you broadcast. A lot of people do. Yep, been fasting. Oh, really, have you? Yeah. God never told us, Jesus never told us to broadcast our fasting. Here's a simple definition for fasting, if you want to write it down somewhere. Setting aside distractions to get closer to Jesus. What is it? What is it that's distracting you right now and keeping you from getting close to Jesus? Then maybe it's time to fast. Maybe it's time to put that distraction to the side and get closer to Jesus. There are several different ways that you can do that. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's, I don't know, I could name a ton of different things. I don't want to name things. I want you to find out for yourself. Look internally. What is it that's distracting you, that's keeping you from getting close to Jesus? And put it aside for a while so that you can make Jesus the focus. Make prayer your first priority. Consider fasting. Consider getting rid of the distractions so that you can get close to Jesus and find out, how can I be different, Lord, so that I can make a difference? The next thing for you to get close to Jesus is worship. Worship's kind of gotten a bad rap, too. We think that's Sunday morning from 10:15 till 11:15. It's once a week. It's when we come to church. It's worship Jesus time, right? That's Sunday. And so, you know, it's not just music. We think we've got, if we're going to worship, there has to be music. But that's not always the case. Worship is a lifestyle. It's when we realize that God is bigger than any problem I'll ever face. There's any need that I have, God is bigger. Any obstacle that I'm about to have to face, God is bigger. Any situation that comes my way that I don't know whether I'm going to handle, I don't know how I'm going to take care of it, God is bigger. He's always bigger. And when I see God for who He is, I understand that He is greater and bigger. And the bigger I see God, the larger I see God in my life, and let me say, the closer I get to Him, the bigger He becomes. The smaller and tinier my situation becomes. And pretty soon I realize, God, You are so awesome, You can take care of that little old problem that I thought was big. You can handle it. And I worship You today, God, because I realize You're bigger than all of it. In everything that comes my way, it's a lifestyle. Every day I decide, or I don't decide, if I'm going to make God big in my life. If I'm going to make my situation, my problem big, or am I going to let God come into my life? Am I going to draw closer to Him? And my situation just continues to shrink once I see Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to worship. And next, I'm going to get in the Word. If we are going to get close to Jesus and reflect Him in our daily lives, we must listen to His voice. We've got to listen. And I said this in a couple Wednesday nights. Don't listen for a voice. Read a voice. It's right here. Every word God breathed. Every word God spoken. You have a voice. You just have to open it and listen to it. Don't listen just for a voice. Read a word. This is the voice of God speaking to each and every one of us. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Hide it. Put it right inside of you. Digest it. Let it take over. And I promise you, you'll get closer to Jesus. When you pray, when you fast, when you worship, and when you stay in the Word. Wouldn't it be great to be different and make a difference? How are you going to do it? You're just going to simply get close to Jesus and get as close as you can to Him. But when you get close to Jesus, the next thing you need to do is to get close to people. Get close to people. The days of people knocking on the door wanting to get in the church are over. The days of a line down the sidewalk and people looking for a seat and can't find a seat, for the most part, are over. We have to get close to people. And people need us to get close to Jesus. But Jesus needs us to get close to people. So you got to do both. You can't just get close to Jesus and that be it. You can't spend time praying and fasting and worshiping and in the Word and never connect with people. Because see, it's not all about us, it's about them. And what can we do to reach them? And what can we do different so that we can make a difference in people's lives? So if we're going to be different and make a difference, we've got to get close to Jesus, but we've got to get close to people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. We are Christ's ambassadors, or His representative. Can I say it that way? God is using us to speak to them. And so we beg you, as though Christ Himself were here pleading with you, receive the love He offers you and be reconciled to God. Get close to people. Be Jesus' reflection. Be his representative. Be his ambassador. And get close to people. Okay, so how do I get close to people? You've told me how to get close to Jesus by praying, by fasting, by worshiping, by studying, by reading his word. How do I get close to people? Well, first of all, you've got to remember the church. You're going to get close to people by attending church, by being around other people. You know, there's a lot more offered than just a Sunday morning. Some people think, well, I come at 10:15, I'm out of here by 11:30, I've done my part. But you know, there could be a whole lot more done and a whole lot more could happen if we would avail ourselves to every opportunity that the Lord has for us when we meet. So get close to people by attending church. Secondly, by Bible study. Now, at this point in time, I understand we have one class that meets, one Bible study that meets. But make yourself available to it. And maybe in the near future, we can make more opportunities, more things available for you so that you can have different, maybe even different times for Bible study. Maybe it could happen during the week. Maybe, I don't know, there's a whole lot of opportunities, a whole lot of options out there for us to spend more time together getting close to people. Let me tell you, that's where relationships start. That's where relationships can happen. When Andy Stanley puts it this way, circles are better than rows. You put 5 or 6, 7, 8 people in a circle and let them start talking and relationships start to build. It's hard to build relationships with rows, but put people in circles and you can get a whole lot more understanding of people and getting close to people and building relationships with them. The third thing is serving. We need to make every opportunity available to you to serve so that you can get close to people. So that you can have the opportunity after you've had your prayer and fasting and worship and in the Word and got close to Jesus, now getting close to people so that you can share what God is doing in your life, in your heart, in your surroundings, sharing them with other people. Remember, it's not all about you. It's all about those people that we need to touch and that we need to serve. And the last thing you need to do is simply look. Always be looking around. There are probably, can I say thousands? Thousands of opportunities that have come your way that you've not taken advantage of, that Jesus has allowed people to cross your path. Why? So that you could lead them into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It wasn't about going to lunch. It wasn't about playing golf. It wasn't about going to the store. It wasn't about going shopping. It wasn't about just spending time together. It was an opportunity. It was a time when God brought someone in your life and intersected your path of life that you could be a blessing to, that you could do something to share Jesus with them. I don't know how it is. There are several ways that we can share Jesus. One church I was at, we encouraged random acts of kindness. We did once at a church I was at in Lenore City. We did a Saturday where everybody came together, and there was a bunch of them came together. And we had things available for them to go out and do certain things. We sent a group of teenagers to Walmart. And the parking lot was full of carts, shopping carts. And we had to kind of give some guidelines, some instruction, but we made sure that parking lot was clean of every shopping cart that there was. Brought back up to... Every time I go to the Walmart, there's this same guy that keeps going out with his. Now they've got those things that push them all. You know, you can get 45,000 on that thing and bring it on up there. But it doesn't matter if it's freezing cold, if it's rain, if there's snow, if it's wind, if it's bone chilling cold. He is out there bringing in those shopping carts. Man, I feel sorry for the guy sometimes. So every time I go into Walmart, I at least try to find two carts that I can grab and take up with me, which I know he's getting paid for it, but still. And so random acts of kindness. We sent teenagers to, and we would tell them, now you can follow someone out to their car once they load their groceries, ask if you can take the shopping cart and put it up for them. Don't scare them to death, but you know, go and got to be with teenagers. Watch out now. Careful. We sent a group to gas stations that were in the community, that were in the area there close by. And we gave them a bucket with a scrubbing brush, toilet cleaner, floor cleaner, and we went in and cleaned the bathrooms at some of these gas stations. You want to talk about some nasty working? You want to talk about being different so that they made a difference in somebody's life? Stand on the corner and at a stoplight hand out cold water to people on a very hot day in Tennessee. Just a little something to show you that God loves you is what we'd have them say. We hung light bulbs on doorknobs. That here's a little light to shine in your life, but we want to let you know that Jesus is the light that shines in everybody's life. Just, oh, there are thousands of ways that you can be a blessing with just a random act of kindness. Pay it forward. That's happened a lot. Wouldn't that be great if that was a Christian thing that happened all the time? A Christ follower thing that, hey, take care of the lunch and the guy behind me. Or buy that guy in the back behind me his next Starbucks, will you? Or whatever it might be. Random acts of kindness. Because you've got to remember this. We will never lock eyes with someone who does not matter to God. No matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter how low, how desperate, how dirty, how nasty they are, God loves them. And they matter to him. You'll never lock eyes with someone that God doesn't matter to. That God doesn't love more than you can ever love anybody. We seem to back away sometimes. So I believe today it's time to be different so that we can make a difference. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't say, hey, now there's all these rules and laws and we've always done them this way and so we better continue to do them that way because that's the way it's supposed to be. But you know who was making a difference? Not those Pharisees. They weren't making any difference at all. It was Jesus and his disciples who were making a difference. And no, they didn't obey all the laws and they didn't obey all the rules. But Jesus had said, I love you. I have mercy upon you. I have compassion for you. And I bring grace. I bring unmerited favor. I bring truth and I bring grace. Make a difference. Make a difference to the people that you come in contact with. Make a difference in this community, in this city, in this state, in this country, and in this world. Make a difference. And how are we going to do that? We're going to have to do things a little bit different if we're going to make a difference. Get close to Jesus. And when you get close to Jesus, Jesus will show you people you need to get close to. How about it? Let's make a difference. But to do that, we might have to do things a little bit different so that we can make a difference. Would you bow your heads, please? Jesus came into the world as the Savior of the world. He came as the Messiah, Christ the Savior. And he says this to each and every one of us: be different and make a difference. Make a difference, Highland Avenue. Be different so that you can make a difference, church members. Be different so that you can make a difference, Christ follower. Get close to me, and I'll lead you to people that you can get close to. There are steps that have to take place. We have to get close to Jesus so that he'll bring people our way. And that we are ready when he brings them our way. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so real to us. Thank you for the awesome privilege it is to serve you. And I pray each and every one of us today will decide in our own hearts that we're going to make you first. That we're going to get as close to you as we can. We're going to get rid of all the distractions. And we want to just draw close to you. And then we pray, Lord, as you bring people our way, whether it be individually or as a ministry, that we accept them like they are, we love them like they are, and we lead them into a growing relationship with you. Give them steps that they can take that will draw them closer to you. And so, Lord, help us each and every one to determine in our heart today, Lord, I'm going to be different today. I'm going to be different in 2019 so that I can make a difference in this world. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Maybe you'd like to come forward, spend some time in prayer. Just let the Lord, I'm going to put you first this next year. I'm going to make you the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to get close to people. And I'm going to take every opportunity that comes my way to lead them into a relationship with you. You come as we sing.